It's a little bit after 4 p.m. here on KDNK, and I am Will with the Soper Sun, bringing you a special Everything Under the Sun, a little show that otherwise doesn't exist, but does when the whole KDNK team is down in Moab at a conference. So with me in the studio, Lacey Dunleavy from the Carbondale Branch Library.
Hello.
And Jasmine Ramirez, recently elected and just confirmed as a member of the Roaring Fork School District Board of Education.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for having me.
And just coming in the back door and hopefully spotted where we're where we are in the studio here, Nick Forbes, coach of the soccer team over at Roaring Fork High School. So we'll get him in a second. But let's start with Jasmine. You just last night you heard that the final count was in, and you're the victor in this election.
Yeah, today actually, not too long ago, they confirmed it, and it's exciting. I'm really happy. I'm just overjoyed, super grateful to the community, to all the members that came out and voted, and just really grateful for the whole experience.
Cool. I'm very you sort of ran on this inclusiveness and equity platform. What can you tell us about sort of what you're hoping to bring to the board?
Yeah, well, I think my main focus through this whole experience, even up to the day of the last day of campaigning, was really to talk about community and relationship. It's been said time and time within our school district that we want relationships, we want community, we want to be feel like belonging to our schools, and I just think that that's something that we, even parents and students, want. You know, we want to feel like we have a school that we want to volunteer at and become engaged with the teachers, and just kind of pushing that that theme for parents to come out and meet their teachers and ask questions and join PTAs and join accountability committees and diverse demographics to become involved and to be more involved in their child's education and community, because it just helps all of us feel more together.
So when we first talked on election night, it looked like you weren't going to make the cut, although you were very close at the time. And you still thought that some of those things had been communicated. Do you think that actually getting in that role, does that take it to another level?
Yeah, well, you know, think that just the hope that it brought, that this was something that the community felt, was big for a lot of us, because, you know, we have dreamers and we have undocumented students within our schools, and so there's a lot of voices and a lot of diverse demographics that we're representing across the district in all 13 schools, and I think that to have it, the tide sort of turn where, you know, I've come into this position now. I think it gives us that opportunity to talk more about it, to say, like, this is something we should work towards, and how can I be of help and work with the other board members to have this be a more representative experience for them and us.
So walk me through the next month in terms of, you know, what you're doing and how you get sort of to that seat.
Yeah. So on the 21st, here at the Carbondale District Office, myself and the other two new board members will be sworn in. And then our first board meeting that we will be presiding over will be in December, I believe December 12th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Wonderful. So we'll swing back around. Anything else you want folks to know right this moment?
Well, I'll be at the Glenwood Rec Center today. There's a restorative practice informational night that the district is hosting from 5:30 to 7:30, and I'd be happy to meet members of the community if they want to come and say hello.
All right. Well, since Nick is in the studio and didn't get a chance to say hi, I'm going to turn on his mic and say hi. How's it going?
Pretty good. Is it this one?
It is that one. You got it right. We're gonna pass some headphones around because we got kind of a mixed set. Nick Forbes is the coach of the Roaring Fork High School boys soccer team, who just last night defeated Salida to go to the finals in 3A. How's it feel?
It feels pretty surreal actually at this point, but it's been a long process and a lot of work put into the to the result. And the support from the community is pretty outstanding. My phone has been pretty much buzzing nonstop all day. And it's really great for my boys to get the experience. And last year we were one game away and we lost in penalty kicks at the end. And so this year it's kind of feels a little vindicating and also just kind of, a little surreal still.
You haven't made it this far before, have you?
I have never. Each year in the last three, we've made it one more game. So the three years ago, we were in the Great Eight, and then the last year we made it to the semis, and then, or not the Great Eight, we made it to round three, and then round four, and now we're in round five, which is the final.
So I looked this up. It doesn't look like there's been a Western Slope Public School, first off, winning state, but even in that state game since 2008. Is that jibe with your understanding?
That sounds right. Would it be the Hotchkiss team?
Yep.
Yep, that's the one. So they were, that was like 2 years after I was a player in the league. And they were very good and they combined a bunch of schools. So even that is a little bit misleading in that they were punching a little bit above their weight because of how many schools they brought into their team.
So you're really playing in a private East Slope dominated sport and league, it sounds like.
Oh yeah, for sure. We're going to be playing Kent Denver on Saturday at 11 at Dick Sporting Goods Stadium, which is the Rapids like official stadium. And Kent Denver is a very high powered soccer force. They won it last year and they've won it
four out of the last 5 years.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right. They are very good. They recruit. They have a couple kids on the Rapids Academy. We're up against it. They got a lot of resources, and their coaching staff is probably as big as my team. And we're going to show up on our big yellow school bus and try to show them what we can do as a public school.
That's awesome. Yeah. Salida was first ranked at when you took them down, weren't they?
Yeah. And so Salida, the system is a little bit different. If I was kind of actually judging teams, I would say probably Kent is the favorite for first, but it's all based on this RPI system, which is, it's really convoluted. It's 25% your own winning percentage, 50% your opponent's winning percentage, and then another 25% your opponent's winning percentage. So it actually caters to those teams on the front range where they have much more access to teams. They don't have to drive 3 to 4 hours to play teams that will up their RPI. It's kind of an East Slope centric system, but I think just the success we've had kind of shows that we're doing something right, and it's really vindicating, and it feels, like I said, a little bit for surreal.
Uh-huh.
I'm loving it, and my kids are loving it, and my coaches are loving it, and it's we're gonna enjoy the ride until it ends.
What do you think it is about this scrappy public school crew that it's making it work so well?
I think a little bit of it's a little bit of it's the kids. I mean, as a high school coach, you're always kind of confined to the resources that you have within your school. And to speak to that, I think our Carbondale, it's actually called the All Valley Select Club that feeds most of our kids, is a really strong program. It has great leaders on it. They do a great job developing kids. And then they make kids that are kind of both great human beings and also great players. And I think being a great human being always adds to a great player. I think they kind of go hand in hand. And I think it's a little bit of that. So we've been getting really great resources into our school. And I mean, I think our league shows that too, because the other schools are doing pretty well as well. And then I think also I've been doing this for about, I think this is my eighth year. It's been too long to even keep track, but longevity, it's a pretty difficult position to be a high school coach. It's not a lot of reward for the amount of time you put in, but if you love it and you're into it and you build a program, I think it kind of starts to show. And so 8 years of this is finally starting to kind of pay its dues.
Yeah, well, it seems like Carbondale in general is just thriving on that front. CRMS was doing pretty well until they had some students out and kind of lost their...
Yeah, I was at that game and I was really bummed for him. I'm a pretty good friend of their head coach, Dan Pitts, and I actually am an alum of CRMS. That's where I played my high school soccer.
And is your dad still involved on their coaching
staff? Actually not. He is retired from CRMS. He's there in the spring and he still coaches the girls, but he is he's stepping back. He's actually kind of helping me in a little bit of an advisory position this year, which is nice.
That's wonderful. Yeah. But anyway, you were saying you're connected to those guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. Are we talking about CRMS still?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I went to that game, and yeah, they had a little bit of, with high school boys, sometimes, you know, things happen, and they had a little bit of issues off the field, and I think that affected them a little bit. I think anytime you're a CRMS and you're going up against a school with, again, that RPI plays into the equation, because you don't always get the right actual shakeup. So I think they were playing a team that was maybe undervalued in the RPI, but still very good. And CRMS comes in with, they come in with a week less of practice. They don't have the same level of, they can't build as well, because kids go in and out of that school really quick. So it's really hard to build a program that's super successful. And I commend Dan Pitts on his work, because the success he has managed to do is pretty great. And again, my dad before that, they managed to do a lot with a little, which is kind of the Western Slope motto for soccer.
So as you prepare to do that, tell me, what can the community do to help you out?
I mean, so far they've been amazing. The that first playoff game we hosted was covered in snow, so we couldn't really do anything on our field. We had to, like, we spent a practice shoveling, but then all the parents and administrators for the school district and non-parents, grandparents, students, players, they all came out and helped us shovel. I've been getting just, like I said, my phone's been off the hook, just buzzing with people kind of telling me how proud they are of our team and how much they support it all. And then finally, just the, on our way to that last game, we had a kind of a parade and a police escort. And just to see everyone come out and kind of cheer us on and how much the community gets behind us is pretty awesome. And with that in mind, we are doing that again. We are going down to Denver tomorrow afternoon, right at, I think it's 3. We'll probably leave the Roaring Fork High School right around 3:15. Knowing my boys, it's probably going to be more like 3:25.
You were pretty on time on Wednesday morning.
They were a little too early, I think. Some of the middle school and other schools had some, couldn't get out there in time. We were trying to delay them. But yeah, we're going to have a kind of a parade of honor out of the school, out of the city, which always makes my boys feel real, real proud of what they kind of achieved. And it's going to start at Snowmass Drive, right at the Carbondale Middle School. It's going to go around to Crystal River Elementary, hook into Main Street, and then come down Main Street. So if you are free and you have a moment right around 3:30 or a little before, maybe at 3:15, please come on down to the Main Street and cheer us on as we go try to bring the title home. And the other thing too is Saturday in Denver, there's the game is actually going to be played where it matters, and that's at 11, and you can watch on Max Preps. I think there's a live stream. Check in at the news. We should be kind of on the news, whatever the outcome may be. And yeah,
the Soper Sun will be there. So
sweet. we've been having a great relationship with you guys so far. You guys have been awesome about covering us and putting big photos of proud boys on the front. So I'm stoked.
I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you.
So if you need to run off to practice or something,
I have my assistant covering it right now, but I probably should get going.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll keep folks updated.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you guys out there tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Sounds good. Lacey, you're our third guest, patiently waiting over there.
Patiently waiting.
Yes. We've got a couple of things to talk about. One being the since we're also talking about the election here with Jasmine, looks like the libraries are going to see a little bit more money.
A little bit more money is putting it very lightly. It's hard to wrap your mind around as someone who's worked for nonprofits, public organizations, you know, places that are not well known for being flush with money. And then to just have this entire new world presented to you and say, you can make everything you want to happen. I cannot wait to show everybody what we're going to do with this. It's so amazing. We're hiring at all of our branches right now. I have to tell people that. We're hiring library assistants, Carbondale to Parachute. There's multiple positions open at every branch. So that's our first step. Immediate changes. You'll see more books, more magazines, more newspapers. If you've been waiting you know, a couple months for a book that has a lot of holds. We're going to be getting 4 or 5 copies of it now. So that's going to be cut in half. A big part of that to me is being able to support teachers and homeschool parents and families, supporting their, what they need. You know, it takes a village, and we have these very intrinsic and symbiotic relationships with these places. And I'm so excited. Thank you so much, everybody, for voting your trust of confidence in us.
Are we going to see ours come back at some point?
Absolutely. That is our biggest priority. It's really important to do it right and to not do it fast. And I put a lot of stock in my staff and how we deal with the community. It's coming in 2020. I can tell you that for a fact.
You need the staff first, I'm guessing, before you can.
You know, I could live at the library. I just passed some kids on the sidewalk on the way here, and they actually asked me if the library was closed because I wasn't there. And I said, no, I leave sometimes. It's wild. We have to get staff. Like I said, we're hiring at every branch. So let's do that first, and then we'll get some open hours. I'm excited.
That's great to hear. And, time, I would think, for a lot of folks.
Yes.
Been sort of, so you've been at the kind of mercy of the oil and gas boom and bust for a while. This is pretty sustainable, right? This is just basic mill levy stuff that, unless the property values go way down.
Yeah, that's the key thing. It's just, it's so hard to plan ahead year to year. And when you aren't really, it fluctuates that much. And so it's like, if we can just get on, it's hard to catch momentum, you know, with anything. And so if we can just kind of get a bar set here, and that's exactly what this is going to do. It's a whole new world. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around.
Which is not to say you haven't been doing stuff before. I mean,
of course, the
event that's coming up next week was planned well before this ballot initiative. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So, it's called the Local Lit Fest. We did it last year too. I did this last year. I've done events like this before. I always do them around the holidays. It's a great chance to get some Christmas gifts or just to stop by the library if you're already there. And there's just so many local writers here and illustrators and publishers, and they, you know, we all want to support each other, and this is a way to do that. So the Carbondale Writers Group meets regularly at the library, and so I kind of cornered Linda Flynn and said, you know, hey, what about this event? And so it went great last year, so we're doing it again this year.
What kind of authors can we expect to be there?
Yeah, so I always, it's so hard to fit everyone in. I get so many requests. We have 8 authors this year. We have Linda Flynn, Carbondale Writers Group. I'll start with them. So we have Linda Flynn. She's written 4 books. She's a new book coming out just for kids. It's about kids having a surprise encounter with a bear. And it's also educational about bears and living with them. She's written local history titles, and she's also written some nonfiction about her own family and her grandmother and her family's legacy. We have Corey Carnan. She wrote Secrets of the Fairy Cave. So it's a book for kids, but it's actually about the fairy caves at the Glenwood Adventure Park. Mm-hmm. So I think this is like, it's a great thing to get for like your friend's son or daughter, or your niece or nephew or that sort of thing, and turn something fun into educational. So if you're into that, like I am, and ruining something like that, that'd be, it's great. it's really cool. It's really cool to know the story behind it. We have David Wall. He wrote, it's science fiction. It's called REAL. It's spelled like an acronym, REAL. Science fiction, suspense, humankind grappling with the consequences of artificial intelligence. We have Clark Heckert. He also wrote, it's fiction. It's called Sudden Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Post-Cold War Russia, military secrets, suspense. If you're into like W.E.B. Griffin, Stephen Kuntz, that sort of thing, right up your alley. Clark's wife, Pam, she wrote her first and published her first book this year. And it was just released earlier this year. It's called Alma Mater. It's a historical novel following the lives of 7 young women at a boarding school. They're away from home. Mid-19th century, if you like to read different time periods. And again, these are all local authors, local groups, published locally. It's amazing. Outside of that group, we have David A. Aguilar. I'm really excited. He's a space and science author for National Geographic and Smithsonian Books. So he's that guy that writes those books that you buy for, like, again, like a niece or nephew or your friend's son or daughter. And then you're looking through it at home and you're like, maybe I just want to kind of keep this for myself because it's really cool. So he has three titles for kids with National Geographic. He, whether he's written part of it, he does space art and spacescapes for different, he's just amazing overall. He's done the Space Encyclopedia, the Alien Worlds book for National Geographic, and he just released a book called Luna. It's Science and Stories of Our Moon with National Geographic. And then the rest of this is going to sound very familiar and right up our alley as far as local history goes. Charlotte Graham is going to be there. I've been waiting to do an event with Charlotte. Her book's Up the Crystal. If you don't own them or haven't read them and you live in the Valley, like, you're just missing out. There's just no other way to put it. It's one of the first things I read when I moved here. And then what's really exciting, she's actually writing her first fiction book. So it's not going to be out until early 2020, but she's bringing more information about that. And I'm really excited to hear about it. And then I have Daryl Munsell. I love Daryl. I've worked with him at Eagle County. He lives up the crystal. So he's written several books on Redstone and John Cleveland Osgood. He also wrote a book on Jack Roberts, Painting the West. And this year, he wrote a book with his wife, Jane, and it's only 87 pages. So it's that historical, thorough, researched book about the area, but it's also very accessible and something you can just kind of pick up and grab. So I'm really excited that he has a new book. Of course he has a new book. It's Daryl. He's just writing books all the time. And then also, I'm really glad you featured this on the front of the Sopra Sun today, the calendar vets of the Valley. So we're actually gonna be selling those at the event too. They're $20. It's a 2020 calendar. 100% of the proceeds go towards CARE, Colorado Animal Rescue. I don't think I need to say much about them. I think like half the Valley has gotten some sort of animal or pet from them, myself included.
Yep.
Yeah, the
okay,
dog.
Everybody in this room.
Yeah, like the dog, horse, elk mix that I have at home came from there. Mm. And so 100% of the proceeds go directly towards CARE. They're only $20. And it's really funny. You'll see your vet in there. All my dogs go to All Dogs and Cats, and Dr. Bob is in there. So it's just a great way to, again, it's a great gift. But then also, you know, supporting Valley organizations and Valley people. So, yeah, I think we have a really great lineup this year. I'm really excited.
And you can read more about that in next week's Sopra Sun. We're still working on that story.
Yes.
Well, we got about 2-3 minutes left. Anything either of you would like to share with everybody?
I think just thank you for your time. Thank you for voting.
Thank you for voting. Yeah. It's so great how many people show up for midterm elections. It's, you never know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It seemed like it was a quiet year, but
yeah,
we had this, you know, kind of dramatic three-way race going on between.
That was very dramatic.
In Glenwood.
At the library, that felt very dramatic.
Yeah. And the library, yes, kind of going for broke. If it were.
That's not it. Like, we're laughing, but that's exactly,
yeah,
what it is.
Yeah. You know, not to mention Prop DD and CC, which were interesting and turned out sort of opposite of each other. And yeah, we'll see the consequences and the outcomes of that for a while to come. So I agree. Thanks to everybody who participated in that election. I know that there's another one around the corner that may be catching a little more attention, but we do our best to follow each and every one. So you'll be hearing from us and the library and the school district for quite some time, I'm sure. Thank you both for joining me in the studio as well, and thank you all for listening.